My name is Hillary Lindsay. I'm an editor with the Dominion Newspaper Cooperative. I'm also the coordinator of the Halifax Media Co-op here in Halifax.
Why did the Dominion decide to dedicate an issue to focus on the Vancouver Olympics?
I think one of the main reasons is basically that there are a lot of really important stories to be told around the Olympics, and stories that a lot of people don't hear about. And one of the reasons they don't hear about them is there's so much emotion and patriotism and excitement tied up in the Olympics that a lot of the really alarming stories about poverty, about security, about land rights, just ends up getting completely swept under the table, as those issues usually do. And so we felt like it was really important to bring some of those issues to the forefront, to get people to start thinking critically about the Olympics. And it is a hard thing to do, because it's kind of like criticizing Christmas or something. People have, a lot of people hold the Olympics close to their heart and have, fond memories of watching figure skating on television with their family or whatever. And certainly,
there's an emotional connection.
Connection, and there's a lot of things about the Olympics that are beautiful, and it's understandable why people, some people love it so much. And certainly we're not criticizing that, but we're just saying that, listen, there's other stuff that we need to talk about, and we can't just ignore it just because there's parts of this that are beautiful. So so that's why we decided to do it.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the mainstream media or in the world in general, it seems like the Olympics is sort of, people look at it as their break from like all the regular problems of the world. Like it's, like you said, it's almost like a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Like it has to be a good news story, and it's just for fun and it's a good news story. But it is this huge institution and this major moving of resources, and there are a lot of things tied into it. So you guys looked at some of those things.
Yeah, we did. There are several different articles in the Olympics issue, a few focused on security. Almost $1 billion is going to be spent on security alone in the Olympics. And, when you consider, if the Olympics is really about amateur sport and peaceful competition or whatever, how many community skating rinks or something could you buy with $1 billion? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's $1 billion is a lot of money. And the Olympics is costing billions and billions and billions of dollars. And People, there's a huge problem with gentrification in Vancouver. People are getting moved out of their communities. There's the issue that a lot of the land in BC, treaties were never signed for that land. And one of the battle cries for the Olympics is no Olympics on stolen native land. And this is kind of an ongoing issue in across Canada, and is one that continually does not get the attention it deserves, that this is land that is not the Canadian state's to, do what it wishes, and that these issues need to be dealt with.
I was reading on the Dominion website, you have the editorial up, one of the things mentioned in it was the Aboriginal aesthetic of the Olympics and the logo design and that sort of thing, and how that doesn't really reflect the reality of like how settled and fair things are in terms of we haven't really handled a lot of problems related to like Aboriginal peoples.
It's kind of like taking what is appealing or whatever, and then just leaving people. I mean, the condition on reserves across the country is generally horrible, and people are living in third world conditions, and treaties still haven't been signed, and yet we take their symbolism or whatever and use it. And it's interesting, I've been kind of following the torch relay, and there was one article in particular that caught my attention. They were talking about an Inuit community up north and all the excitement around the torch, and one of the quotes that the journalist put in there for someone from the community was, "This is the best thing that's ever happened here." And to me, that's a profoundly sad statement, that this torch going through with Coca-Cola whatever their little jingle kind of blaring is, sure, it's exciting, but what has happened to these communities? What kind of conditions are they living in? Their culture in a lot of ways has been destroyed, and So, you know, as the journalist was kind of presenting this as a really positive thing, but at the same time, you know, let's kind of look at the backstory there and what's going on. So generally, you know, the Olympics kind of tends to glaze over, like, everything is okay because the Olympics is okay, basically. And we're supposed to just kind of accept that billions of dollars is going to be spent on it or whatever, and that it's all good. And, you know, it's not. It's just not. And certainly civil liberties in BC, one of the bylaws that's come out is that you cannot have any signs that are not celebratory in certain, like, in a lot of areas in Vancouver where kind of Olympic events are going to be happening. And
I was shocked to read that.
I know. It is shocking.
Yeah.
And I mean, that kind of bylaw could never happen in a situation other than something like the Olympics, where people have decided that anything, you know, I mean, of course, not everyone has decided this. There are actually lots of people who are opposed to the Olympics. And I believe in Vancouver, even before kind of all this stuff started coming down, like, the people of Vancouver are having to deal with a lot of stuff around the Olympics. But when the vote happened as to whether or not to hold the Olympics, it wasn't a clear majority that wanted the Olympics in Vancouver. I don't remember the exact, you know, percentage, but there were a lot of people already, yeah, I think it was 30% or something, but don't quote me on that, who were like, no, you know, we don't want the Olympics here. So certainly it isn't like a blanket kind of love-in for the Olympics, but it is often presented that way, partly because you have billions of dollars going towards making sure people see it that way, and, you know, billboards up all over the city, and you know, huge amounts of money going into advertising and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, in part, that's almost one of the arguments that people make in favor of the Olympics, because that contributes to sort of like the usual economic indicators, right? Like, in terms of like
right.
growth, you know, or how we typically measure those things. It just like, it looks like business was really great for
right.
leading up to 2010.
Yeah.
And it looks like there was all kinds of money in BC and that
mm-hmm.
you know. So I guess there's that argument, and I guess, I mean, people, I mean, it does, I mean, it certainly would affect people of certain, like, in certain sectors.
Yeah, certainly.
You know?
I mean,
yeah.
it would be, there will be an economic boom for some people.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of who. And you know, certainly the most marginalized communities aren't benefiting from the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Indigenous communities, people living in poverty, a lot of people on the downtown east side in Vancouver feel pretty well kind of under attack. They're being, you know, the area is being quote unquote, you know, cleaned up, which basically means, you know, getting unsightly people and places, cleaning them up.
Mm-hmm.
And where are they supposed to go?
Yeah, so, not solving anyone's problems, but
no.
yeah, getting them out of the way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what, I mean, we've touched on obviously some of the stuff that's covered in the, but maybe you can give us a bit of a,
mm-hmm.
a bit of a rundown
some
on like,
rundown?
On the,
yeah,
the highlights of this issue.
Yeah, well, I think, let's see, the highlights, most of the special issue kind of focuses around a few main issues, one being security. There are a few articles on security, on the number of over 16,000 security personnel, RCMP soldiers will be in Vancouver over the Olympics.
Wow.
So partly about opposition to the Olympics as well, like people who are, you know, planning on protesting and what that means for them. There's a few articles on Indigenous resistance to the Olympics and the land that the Olympics are being held on, and, you know, what, for example, some of the kind of ski resort areas or whatever, and traditionally kind of important, like, hunting grounds, etc., for people. So some of the, like, and also some of the environmental impacts of the Olympics, which is, it's a, they're being called the Green Games, which is quite interesting. You know, there's certainly small, you know, like, let's say water saving, whatever, taps being put in Olympic infrastructure or whatever, you know, stuff that's good that's happening. But at the same time, you have one of the largest sponsors of the Olympics being Petro-Canada Suncor, which is huge into the tar sands, which is obviously a huge kind of environmental problem in Canada and for the rest of the world. So you kind of have this contradiction of, you know, making these small steps that are really kind of, well, it's really greenwashing. There is an article on greenwashing and corporate sponsors of the Olympics. Let's see. So, and there are a couple articles written, first-person accounts, people on the Downtown East Side talking about their experience. There's comics and there's infographics on money being spent on the Olympics and where it's going. And, yeah, that's the main stuff.